B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, October 10th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, is horror done better in video games or in movies? Is it better to, you know, have some kind of interaction with the horror? Is it more effective? Plus, we got to get our picks for Worlds in before the action gets started this weekend. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about video game music. Video game music is one of the greatest things to talk about. Like, I think
it's one of our favorite conversations.
It's definitely one of our favorite conversations. And whenever it kind of comes up in like Twitch streams, or if you're at a convention and you're talking to other, you know, game fans about their favorite game music, concerts, entire concerts. You know, we've spent time talking to Tommy Tallarico of Video Games Live,
Arnie Roth,
thank you, of Distant World, Susan Calloway. They've all appeared on this program. So, you know, video game music is a real kind of common connection point for fans of video gaming and their fandom.
Also one of the single most powerful aspects of gaming, like just even on its own.
And totally. Usually the one thing that people are kind of the least angry or frustrated about, right? It's very rare you hear people rail against the music in a video game.
It's true.
I mean, well, I'll tell you this. If they are railing against the music, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
Like, if the music is bad in a game, that will ruin a game quickly.
It's true, but, you know, I struggle to think of a game where I can go, yeah, that game had terrible music.
See, what I would say what you're more likely to find is a game that just doesn't use music well.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Indifference more than, oh, I hate the music in this.
I think that that's fair. So today we thought we would talk about boss battles because, you know, most games have boss battles. Mm-hmm. I struggle to think of a game that doesn't have boss battles as a part of its structure.
And in some form or fashion.
And the thing about boss battles, because they're such big set pieces and they want to, you know, you want them to be memorable if you're a game designer, right? They always come along with some pretty epic music. So we all sat around and picked some of our favorite, and we thought we would play a little bit here. So who wants to kick us off?
We got DJ Robbie over there.
That's right.
Robbie, why don't you decide
DJ
where we
Robbie
start?
DJ Robbie on the ones
all
and
right,
twos.
All right. I'm asking you to start us off with Norris's here.
Yeah.
So we're just going to play and he's going to talk us through it. Is that the
Here we go.
Go for it.
Yo. So, what you gotta understand is, as a person who has grown up loving Street Fighter, it is one of the most important games of my whole life. And I got to Vega, and then I realized I can't beat this guy. He's jumping around, he clinging to the fence, I can't stop him. So I heard this riff over and over and over again, and it got stuck in my head, and then I realized, wait a minute, this is brilliant. It's a Spanish ninja. Yeah. This is exactly what a Spanish ninja would sound like.
What classifies like a fighter in any fighting game as like
in
the
Street
boss?
Fighter 2, you could not pick him.
Oh,
you get
right,
to
right,
it's
enough.
One of the four
fair
boss
enough.
Characters that you
okay.
couldn't pick in the game.
That
so.
Makes sense.
Gotcha.
Sure.
All right. Well, there a classic right
yes.
there.
Yes.
Vega's theme. So
all right.
So let's do mine next.
I was gonna do yours next.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
here we go.
That's not a boss theme.
This was actually my second pick.
It's not a boss theme.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
It absolutely is.
It doesn't happen during the boss fight.
It doesn't matter if it happens during the fight. It's the theme for Fortune from Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, it's pretty.
No one said it had to happen during the fight. That was not a stipulation of it.
Joe made this up again, didn't he?
But this is one of the finest themes, and it stands out among in a game full of phenomenal music.
Yeah.
Because it's so unique, right? It slows the pace down quite a bit. You get this wonderful swell of the orchestra underneath you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so, like, because it's so tonally different, it always stands out. And again, you know, you don't always want a song to stand out like that. You don't always want it to be an outlier like that. But it made the character that much more impactful and tragic. So
yeah, I love it.
Love it. Love
it. All right, we're going to go with yours next, Joe. Here
okay,
you go.
What do we got? All right. Jubileus from Bayonetta. All right, yeah. So yeah, here's a boss where you spend the entire game kind of building up to this boss. And let's be clear, Jubileus is a deity. She is a god.
This is already very epic.
She is huge, and they kind of want to capture that with the music. You know, you've got this very choir, very orchestral, very... Mm-hmm. You could hear this in church, basically.
Sure.
And yet,
a very evil church.
Yeah, a very corrupt, very evil church, nonetheless. But yeah, this is the kind of music you got going on while you're literally out in space fighting a giant deity lady, and it kind of builds this. Like, all of Bayonetta's music is very powerful and very, you know, very exciting. Goes with the big set pieces of the game, mm-hmm. but this one stands out.
You could have swapped this into any Dark Souls game, and I don't think I would have noticed the difference.
I think you're right, I think Dark Souls would have taken a lot of inspiration for something like this. I'm making sure in my head that Bayonetta was first. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when you get a song like this, it just kind of goes to, like, really amplify what it is Bayonetta is trying to do throughout the game.
Absolutely, and driving home the epicness of what's happening there as well. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through some of our all-time favorite boss battle music, and we'd love for you to share yours with us. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. We didn't just choose one theme. Robbie, we haven't gotten to yours.
We haven't got to mine.
Okay,
so speaking of epic, this is one that everyone should remember.
Yes!
Come on, guys. Pokemon Red and Blue, the final battle with the champion. You don't got any of those, you know, impressive, you know, big symphonies that Joe's talking about, or all the, you know, eloquent... whatever they're using in your song, man. Oboes and stuff. No, we're getting down to the basics back in the Game Boy era.
Yeah,
but it shows that you could make really great, impactful, memorable music even with, you know, 8 bits.
With the MIDI.
Very true.
With the MIDI keyboard, man.
Yeah.
And this meant a lot because you played against your rival, too. So it's like this guy been griefing you the whole game.
Unlike modern Pokemon games where your rival is awful and you don't care.
You're best friends?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What is that?
And you're way better. Like, this was a challenge.
Yeah, I have no idea why they ended up... Well, I mean, I guess I do, because it's a game for children and you want to try to...
You think kids don't like each other?
I'm just saying, like, I think that's probably why they would justify a change like that, but still, it was so much better when you hated your rival.
Yeah.
Right, like
easily.
it was so much better.
Smell
right.
you later,
so
Gramps.
Going into the round two here, Nate. We're going to start with what I think was supposed to be your original one. I apologize for that. Here you go.
So, this is a bit of a deep cut. Chrono Cross,
yep.
Dragon God theme.
Another epic one
from a time when video game soundtracks were evolving. This is just after the sort of era that you were talking about.
This is Mitsuda.
Yes, it is. But this is just after the era that you're talking about, Robbie, where we're getting off of the MIDI sort of like way to compose music and getting more towards the cinematic sweeping soundtracks that we're used to today in video games. And this is an era where it existed somewhere in the middle, where you can tell it's still very synthesized,
mm-hmm.
but it's still also very cinematic, and you get a lot of the layers that you didn't get back in the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis era. I can't believe I almost almost combined.
Super Genesis.
They wish they'd had a Super Genesis.
I know, right? Yeah, that would have been
helped out.
Yeah, Sega would have loved that.
Now we can't not talk music and not include this one that you've picked for us, Norris.
You got to. Love this song so much.
Persona 5.
The first of all, the whole soundtrack is a slapper. And then you go to fight this boss that technically should be the last boss. It's not. But it's such a good boss theme because it builds up to this point. It's very, you know, you got the backbeat, but it builds up to this point where the strings come in and the vocals get to that crescendo and then it breaks back down. It's such a good boss battle theme.
All right, we got time for one more. We got about 90 seconds left.
I'm going to use mine.
All right.
You guys know I had to include FF7, the Genova theme.
Yes.
It's the first time you get to meet her. You just miss Sephiroth, and just, it puts you in this mood, this sort of tense, epic sort of battle. And I don't know, there's something about this song that's always stayed with me. And it might be the fact that you fight Genova several times through the game.
Yeah.
Different forms, different versions of the song.
Oh, yeah.
It's just something about it really encapsulates something and about FF7 for me.
And I love the fact that it sounds so alien and weird compared to the rest of the soundtrack. Because,
which is
what Genova is compared to the rest of the world, too. So I think that was a really dope touch from Uematsu.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm looking forward to the most about the Final Fantasy VII remaster is the reimagining of all of that music. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, and let us know what your all-time favorite boss themes are. Coming up on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with Norris and Joe and get their picks on who's going to take home the gold at Worlds. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, I got a question for you. Is horror done better in video games or in movies? Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Got a question for you. Is horror done better in video games or in movies? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the heartbeat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage and 103.9 in Marshall, as well as 1250 ESPN San Antonio and the Zone 1150. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Nerd Radio and Geek Culture Congress 2 shows that you can check out live here at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. You can also follow them over on bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Is horror done better overall in video games or in movies? Because I think you can make a pretty good argument either way. I think that it's different. Like, I think that you experience horror differently between the two mediums. And I think the big factor that's at play here is the interactivity of video games.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I've always been of the stance that I think video games can do horror better, but it is a much higher risk, higher reward kind of thing.
Sure, I'll agree with that.
There's very few okay horror games. they're really good
or really terrible.
And I think about something like PT, right? Which, I mean, years later, people still talk about PT because it was utterly incredible. And now they've discovered that, like, Lisa, the ghost person in PT, is constantly following you and adding to, like, the creepiness of it, even if you can't really tell.
Right.
And it just kind of thing. There's a level of interactivity, like you mentioned, that cannot be replicated in movies.
Yes.
See, the issue here is I think that just about anything movies can do, gaming can also do that. Like, one of the strengths that I would say movies have is that you have no agency. You have no control over what's going on, and there may be a sense of helplessness there, but video games can go further than that, give you perceived agency, and then make you still feel helpless. Like, all you can do is run, and even that's not getting you anywhere.
I feel you. Up until maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I would have said that movies still do it better. I would have said that because I still think that visually and, you know, just from a storytelling perspective, that movies still had it better. And I think that they could do jump scares better, suspense better, all that stuff. I thought movies could do it better. And it was until I went back and I played that Resident Evil 2 remake. And I recognized, holy crap, this is not even it's not the goriest, it's not the jumpiest, it's not the anything-ist of the horror games.
Sure.
And yet, I played that game in a state of utter terror for the most part. And it was brilliant. And I think now we're to a point to where graphically and sonically, which is even more important when we're talking about horror, sure, sound design, has caught up, in my opinion, to Hollywood and what they're able to do.
I mean, that's an interesting take. I think for me that, you know, there's something that movies and the medium of video can do that video games can never do. And that's actually make you believe that it's real.
Yep.
The most terrifying experience I've ever had was watching a bootlegged version of the Blair Witch Project that my buddy had told me was like a video that he had found.
Yeah.
Like, it was his cousin's, and he found it.
Oh, that's so
creepy. And his cousin had disappeared, right? Like, so the belief that it was real, a video game can never do that. Maybe VR could. At some point,
because you have to be able to disassociate.
Well, but to that point,
or
I
you
also
have to
think,
suspend the disbelief.
Yeah.
Well, as someone who has played Resident Evil 7 in VR, I think one of the other weaknesses of horror games compared to movies is once you've played a horror game for so long, you start to get used to it. I was terrified for the first few hours of Resident Evil, but eventually you settle into what it is and you just play.
Yeah.
By the time you get to that point in a movie, I think the movie and the experience is over and it's encapsulated in just being like this one sort of concise experience.
Well, but the other thing, though, to both of your points, is that, one, yes, the movie has a much shorter time to be able to suspend your disbelief, scare you, and then end. But I think, Nate, to what you're talking about is that the premises surrounding a film in a certain place and time can amplify what that film actually means.
Yes and no.
But first of all, I think definitely in the pre-internet era, horror movies could be a lot more effective than what a lot of them could be now.
I don't know, man. There are some film projects that exist out there that have since been identified as ARGs. And if you don't know what that acronym is, don't get too upset. I'll explain it. It stands for alternate reality game. It's basically a game that is or a piece of media that has some kind of real life
component to it,
or, you know, there's some kind of element of, you know, you got to find a clue in the real world to be able to advance the story, or something like that, right? So if you want to learn more about them, look them up, because they're really interesting projects that kind of play with the idea of what is real or not. But that's something that that's a Rubicon that I believe video can cross because of sort of the nature of YouTube and video but video games can never transcend that. You know, when you're looking at a digital product, right? As opposed to filming something with real people that you know are real that can kind of make you go, well, maybe I don't know if this is real.
Take a look. I mean, one of the all-time classic horror movies, Halloween. The reason the movie ends the way it does with Michael Myers breathing and just showing the different, you know, locales is it's supposed to make the audience feel this is someone who could be anywhere. They could be in right. my backyard. That is something that video games have struggled for years to try to emulate. You can play even a classic. Silent Hill 2 is one of the best horror games of all time. Mm-hmm. However, at the end of the day, you're holding a screen and looking at your TV. Even if it scares you in the short term, you don't really wind up thinking it could continue yeah. onwards. That's the brilliance of something like Petscop. And if you don't know what Petscop is, that is someone who has basically made a series of videos of them playing a game that is kind of taking over their real world.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of blending that those two times of things together, even though it's not a real game.
Well, in Denight Train in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp brings up a real great point. You know, there are Black Mirror episodes like Bandersnatch
yes.
that are trying to really kind of, you know, make the jump of like some of the medium of video being passive and actually giving you a little bit of agency there. And I do think that there can be some very effective, you know, horror themes that can be delivered through something like that.
Well, while I do think Bandersnatch was brilliant and I had fun and really enjoyed it, I do think that something is lost with the control. There's something lost with knowing that you are on the end product, that ultimately you are making some sort of decision. I think that's where, Nate, as you were saying, where film really does have an advantage in its ability to be able to be horrifying, because there is the immediate suspension of disbelief
yeah.
because you are not controlling it. You can't control or influence anything happening on the screen at that moment. And so when you watch stuff like, you know, The Ring or The Blair Witch Project or Nightmare on Elm Street, when those
jump scares, guys. Jump scares.
Scared the crap out of me.
I think you broke Norris. He was in the middle of a point. But here's the thing. Just one last thought
for
you.
I'm going to fight you.
One last thought for you. Games like Mortal Kombat and Dead Space, do they not just take the idea of body horror completely out of video games? Like, it becomes so normalized at that point that I don't yeah. think something like body horror actually translates to video games.
I can agree with that.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. What do you think? Does horror deliver better to the audience as a movie on video, or is it better when you can interact with it like through a video game or Bandersnatch? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That was a brutal drop, Robbie. Oh my god. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're gonna get Norris and Joe's thoughts on who's gonna take home the gold at Worlds. Stick around, that's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The World Championships for League of Legends get started this weekend. Play-in stages are done. Now it's time to work through those brackets. We're going to check in with Joe and Norris to find out who they think are going to go all the way. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP Low Team Damage. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. It's time for Worlds. It's here. It's right. It's knocking on our doorstep. We've got the Worlds theme.
I'm so
excited. The only thing that we seem to be missing are those Louis Vuitton skins, but, you know, they've still got some time to be able to deliver on those.
Dropping the opening ceremony, mark my words.
That could be.
I mean, it's possible, but we got to check in with Norris and Joe, our resident League of Legends fans, and find out who their picks are to go all the way.
Yep, so every year League of Legends, they do the pick'em bracket, you know, think, you know, March Madness sort of thing.
But
for Vidya Games, exactly.
That's right.
So last year, 3 million people entered the pick'em, and not a single one got it right.
No way.
Whoa.
Yeah. Are you
kidding?
It's
the same thing. It's the same thing with like the NCAA tournament, man. Like there's always like 0.00001% of humanity that gets it right.
I don't think anyone's ever gotten it all right.
No,
I don't think it's ever happened. But yeah, so 3 million people entered last year. If you win, if you get it perfectly correct, you win all of the legendary skins or all the ultimate skins in the game.
Yeah, something like $200. Something like $200 value.
Yeah, something like that.
That costs Riot $0.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
isn't that brilliant?
It is.
So smart.
So we thought we'd go through Norris and I, and we would do our pick'ems live on the air. I have gone to great lengths today to not see anyone else's pick'em bracket. I don't want to be influenced in any way. So mine's right off the dome. Norris, I know you saw a couple, you said.
I saw a couple, but I had already pretty much
already
had my decisions
yours.
Made.
All right, well, I haven't made my decisions yet, so we're going, unlike the, say, the NCAA tournament, they don't make you actually go through every single game and pick who's going to win which one. They start in the group stages, and you just have to pick the order the teams are going to finish in each of the four group stages.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
Let's start with group
A. There's a lot of variables there.
There's so many variables.
I guess I understand why, you know, one would have gotten it exactly right.
So group A has got G2 Esports, Griffin, Cloud9, and Hong Kong Attitude. And that's right, I said Hong Kong Attitude.
Not HKA.
No.
Really?
No, I didn't say that.
Shocking.
I said Hong Kong.
That's
Hong
scandalous.
Fui. I mean, Attitude. The number one super guy.
I'm going to get Dot Esports on the phone.
That's right. Okay, so I think I'll just start off with
you. Start off, yeah.
Okay, so my group A pick, I've got G2 Esports leading. I have Cloud9 upsetting Griffin and taking the second slot. Griffin taking third, and I've got Hong Kong Fui in fourth place.
I actually am going to agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that Cloud9 will step up.
Now, what's your thought there?
I think Cloud9 will step up because I think Griffin, for as good as they are, I think that they're a team that doesn't necessarily have the high level of international experience that this particular group of Cloud9 has. Mm. So I think the experience will shine through. G3 will run through everybody in this group, so that's not going to be close. And for as much as I want Hong Kong Attitude to step up and be the Cinderella story that everybody in esports would just lose their mind over, it ain't happening.
Well, I appreciate your logic and your reasoning there. I picked Cloud9 because I'm a sneaky stan, and I would like to see him go further in the tournament.
You just want to see the championship cosplay.
I do want to see that, yes.
I'd like you guys to know that I just made an account, and I'm picking them, too.
Are you
picking them?
All right, who do you got? Who's your pick?
I got, down at the bottom, Hong Kong Attitude, because I never heard of him before this.
Okay.
Followed by Griffin. And then, of course, at the top, Cloud9 at 2 and G2 at 1.
Same as us. We all agree on Group A. All right.
Group B, toughest group to call.
Where there's no North American teams. We've got Splice, FunPlus Phoenix, GAM Esports, and CTBC
J-Team.
I believe GAM Esports, that's Gigabyte Marines, if
yeah.
I recall.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
All right. So I've got FunPlus Phoenix leading this bracket. I've got Splice number 2, GAM Esports number 3, and J-Team in number 4.
All right, so I have FunPlus Phoenix in the number 1 spot because they're the Chinese team.
Everyone pretty much agrees on that one.
Splice in the number 2 because I actually think they're a team that kind of didn't, I don't want to say didn't deserve to be in play-ins, but I think they're stronger than what play-ins will have them show. I have CTBC J-Team above Gigabyte Marines in the final 2 spots.
Interesting. You can't pick against Vietnam. What are you doing?
I will definitely pick against Vietnam.
All right, Robbie, as our voice of the people for this one,
I did mine based on how much I like their names. So at the time, FunPlus Phoenix, because you can't have fun without the Phoenix, apparently.
Okay.
Splice, because I recognize them.
Mm-hmm.
The CTB, that's a terrible team name. You're in fourth. And so Gamma's Esports is sitting at number 3.
All right.
Gamma Esports.
Gamma Esports. Gamesports. Got it. I like it. All right, Group C. We've got Royal Never Give Up. The Group of Death, by the way. The one no one wanted to get placed into. Sorry, Clutch. Royal Never Give Up, Fnatic, SK Telecom T1, which I see it's not using their new logo. They just debuted a new logo. And Clutch Gaming.
All right.
All right, so I went first on A and B. You get to go first on C and D.
All right. So for me, I got SK, number one.
Okay.
The champs. Legacy.
They're a legacy brand, and I'm sorry, I'm never putting my money against Faker. I'm sorry.
I understand.
I got Royal Never Give Up in number two, simply because I think China's been very strong this year, so I think everybody's going to have to watch out for them. Fnatic in number three, and unfortunately, Clutch rounding out the pack. As much as I want to see them do well, this is the worst possible grouping Clutch could have gotten.
All right, Robbie?
I have SK at the top too, because I ain't dumb. followed by Fnatic, because I think there's a little bit more of a legacy there than there is for Royal Never Give Up.
I mean, Fnatic was at the finals of World last year.
All right, yeah, there we go. Followed by Royal Never Give Up. And, you know, I'd love to put Clutch at number one, so that that way, if they win, I could be like, I believed in them.
I called the miracle on ice.
I also don't want to be wrong.
So I have a very different Group C than you guys. I have this weird feeling that the hype for SK Telecom T1 is a little overblown this year. I've got Royal Never Give Up in the number one slot and Fnatic in the number two slot. I'm not saying I think Fnatic is a better team than SK. I'm saying I think they get it done here.
Wow.
SK Telecom T1 number three, and I will agree with you guys that Clutch is taking dead last in this bracket. Yeah. If they don't take last, it'll be amazing. If they get out of this group, it is the miracle.
It is a miracle.
That's it.
All right. So Group D, Team Liquid number one. I got to ride with my boys all the way in A. Let's get it. But in the number two spot, I have Damwon Gaming. I don't think the defending champs make it out of this group. I think Damwon Gaming is a team that could go up against Invictus, because Invictus did not look their dominant selves at the midseason invitational.
As evidenced by them losing to Liquid.
Not just losing to Liquid.
They look good.
Very, very dominant against Invictus. And thus, I think Damwon Gaming is number two, Invictus at three, and AHQ at the bottom place.
Okay, interesting. I have Invictus number one in that bracket. I do have Team Liquid in at number two. I have a feeling they're going to lose a game to AHQ Esports Club and piss me off. I'm going to be so mad at that loss, but I think that's what's going to happen. I've got Damwon Gaming number three and AHQ Esports Club with their one win over Liquid in the number four slot. Robbie, what do you think?
Invictus at the top. Don't change what ain't broken. Followed by Liquid. Then we have Damwon Gaming, and at the bottom, I got Esports.
Esports. Well, I mean, those are the pick-ems. I think for the most part that a lot of people's groupings are going to look very similar. However, I think the knockout stages for this world are going to be the best knockout stages we have ever seen.
Yeah, I just went over to the knockout stage. They apparently don't let you pick until October 21st. They let you see if you get the group stage before you pick your knockout stage. That's nice of them.
Just based off this,
they must want someone to win this year.
But based off my bracket, you're looking at a knockout stage that would consist of G2 Esports, Cloud9, Splice, Fun Plus Phoenix, SK, Telecom T1, Royal Never Give Up, Damwon, and Team Liquid. Those are all teams that on their good day could make a run besides Splice.
You know what? I'm making a change. I'm moving SK Telecom up to number two. I just realized that I have a bracket that has no Korean teams in the knockout stage, and that's just not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'll put SK Telecom number two in Group C and Fnatic number three.
But that's what's based off all of our brackets. Those are all teams, besides Splice, in my opinion, that have a legitimate chance to win all of it. Legitimate.
All right. Well, there you go. We want to hear your pick-ems. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcast episodes and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.